When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
See him come off the line of scrimmage with that little hop
move step. Off the line of scrimmage.
Delease off the line of scrimmage.
Dick to the face mask as he's coming off the line of scrimmage.
Watch him just slow play this off the line of scrimmage.
Saw the release off the line of scrimmage.
What's good, people? Welcome to another episode of Off the Line Fantasy Football Podcast, episode 111. It's your host, Ike. Follow me on Twitter at @just_ike09, and I'm joined again by the other co-host of the show, Gene. This is week two post short-term IR stint, so his voice should be back to 100%. Gene, how you feeling?
I'm good, man. You know, it's good to be. You know, I feel good. You know, the voice feels good. I'm just ready to roll. You know, we had some big news that happened in the fantasy space that got everybody shaking. So I don't want to waste no time to get into it. But before we get into that, I just want to talk about, you know, Underdog real quick, since we are having a partnership with them. Make sure you use the code OTLFF for first-time depositors. You get a 100% match up to $100. So, you know, if you're dipping into the Underdog waters for all these drafts that are coming up, or if any pick-ems, go ahead and use that code and, you know, you can get locked in.
Yeah, get locked in. Gene, Ray, Jay Rich, they're posting slips every single day. They're actually cashing on some of these slips. Some, you know, two out of three. I mean, they're making some money. So it's the Underdog. This is a really, really good time to get on the Underdog, man. It's on and popping. And the main contest from a best ball perspective is obviously the big board that's still going on. I think it's around 65-70% full. I don't know if
it's getting close.
You know, scary hours are approaching for that contest to be filled. But at the end of this month, we're going to see Best Ball Mania 5 be launched and a bevy of other contests. So, yeah, this is the greatest time to sign up for Underdog. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the big news of the day. Stephon Diggs traded to the Texans for 2025 second round pick. And then a 2025 fifth round pick, and then the Texans get Stephon Diggs in a 2024 sixth. So they got a little bit of something back. Gene, quick thoughts. What do you think about the trade?
You know, Stephon Diggs, aka Mr. Light Crash Out on X or on Twitter.
Boy, he be tweeting his emotions out. Man, he tweets like a scorned ex-girlfriend.
Man, Mr. Crash Out.
Subliminal after subliminal, man. Like,
man. But you know, first thoughts is the Bills ate $31 million on top of this. So, you know, even given a second and a fifth on top of that, to me, just seemed like they just wanted him out the building. They just, you know, got tired of the constant offseason having to answer questions, and every offseason he never really cleared anything up until, you know, something happened, like him getting, you know, more money or anything like that, or hearing, you know, Josh Allen speak highly of him back to back before he'll come out and be like, yeah, everything's good. When in reality, I don't think anything was really good. He just kept it hush, really. But for me, this is them just like, hey, get off the roster, and almost like a reboot of some sort. Because if you look at the other offseason moves, they cut a lot of defensive players because they needed to get under the cap. So, I mean, they need talent, man. The wide receiver room is, you know, it's pretty barren right now. So that was my initial thoughts in terms of, you know, Diggs getting moved to the Texans on the Bills side.
Yeah, definitely. Again, like you have to be fed up with a player in order to eat $31 million of dead cap. And, you know, a lot of people like to talk about how contracts aren't tradable and this, that, and the third. We heard that with Russell Wilson. what did the Broncos do? They cut him. They didn't trade him. They cut him. They absolutely cut him. They were just like, you know what? We're done. We're gonna take this L. We'll learn our lesson, and then we'll do better next time. And then Stephon Diggs, his contract was allegedly untradeable, and guess what? They traded him. So it just kind of goes to show you that the NFL, like some of these GMs, they just have to make these moves based on, you know, the future direction of their team, and this is what happened with Diggs. But yeah, I mean, it obviously, you know, leaves a void in the Buffalo wide receiver core. Gabe Davis left in free agency, went to the Jags, and I mean, yeah, they signed Curtis Samuel, which is a very underrated signing. I think a lot of people are, you know, worse. It was still flying under the radar even when Diggs was on the team, but now they have a hole. So I mean, what does Buffalo do now? Do they trade up in the first round? Or do they stay put at 28? Because there's a lot of wide receiver talent in this draft. I mean, do they give up extra picks to move up to get a guy like Odunze, or maybe, you know, Brian Thomas Jr., or stay put at 28, maybe get Xavier Worthy, maybe he falls to 28. There's a lot of options for Buffalo at 28. And so I'm curious to see like how they navigate the wide receiver pool, because they're probably going to have to double, potentially triple dip at wide receiver, especially if they want to help Josh Allen, avoid having Josh Allen have a similar ending to his seasons that he's had at least each of the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I think the Bills, you know, Joe Brady, if you saw the second half of the season, they got a lot more run heavy than the first half of the season. So, you know, having Diggs wasn't like a primary target of some sort. You know, you already seen after Diggs got traded that, you know, somebody tweeted out about, you know, certain, you know, people around the league don't really like Joe Brady, saying he can't get wide receivers open, which would, you know, kind of follow in the storyline of Diggs not really being happy second half of the season because he wasn't really getting targets. You know, people were saying that he was kind of washed. I mean, I don't know. He still, you know, overall finished what, over 1,200 yards for the season. So I don't know, man. Just I think to your point again, this could be something where they kind of wait in the second, third rounds to kind of, you know, start double, triple tapping wide receivers. I mean, even in mock drafts now, we're seeing, you know, the Bills going after, you know, Adonai Mitchell or, you know, Keon Coleman or, you know, any of your favorite wide receivers on the back end, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. of the sort going to the Bills. I mean, if you look at it in terms of fantasy perspective and dynasty, I mean, if he goes to the Bills, to me, that doesn't really move the needle for me. Because again, all those mentions besides Keon Coleman are, you know, primary deep threats. The primary deep threat on this team is, I don't know who it was, Gabe Davis. And what did Gabe Davis do? All he did is run nine routes. So do you want, you draft Brian Thomas or Adonai Mitchell? Are you going to feel good about drafting him in dynasty in your rookie drafts at 108, knowing that he might be asked to do is run nine routes?
Yeah, especially when you have, you know, wide receivers with the skill sets of, you know, Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir that play mainly in the slot. They're mostly slot guys. Curtis Samuel, back when he was with Joe Brady in 2020, played, you know, just over 50% in the slot. And, you know, that's where Khalil Shakir lines up. And then, you know, Dalton Kincaid, he's technically a tight end, but he's used a lot like a wide receiver, a slot wide receiver. He plays a little slot too. Yep. So they're going to need a deep threat to stretch the field, because a lot of the guys they have right now catching passes from Josh Allen kind of operate in a similar quadrant of the field, similar area of the field. Now, one thing that, you know, we want to talk about, what we're going to talk about today, we're just going to talk about a lot of wide receiver situations that are intriguing to us. You know, there's obviously the Bills and the Texans, but there's a couple of others that, you know, are kind of catching our eye. So we're going to discuss those a little bit, just kind of see, what to make of these current situations pre-draft, and then maybe speculate on what they may potentially do in the draft. But, you know, just with the Bills, the one thing about Khalil Shakir that a lot of people are, you know, kind of overlooking is the fact that his target quality rating was number one in the NFL. So when Josh Allen threw him passes, he was, I mean, they were pretty on target, you know, and it just kind of seemed like every time you saw Khalil Shakir catch a pass, he was making a big play. And he didn't catch that many passes, but he caught 39 passes for over 600 yards. And that's, you know, that's a high target, you know, yards per reception, and his yards per target was 13.6, and that was number one in the NFL as well. So if you talk about, I wouldn't say he's a deep threat, but he can definitely operate a little bit further down the field than some of the other guys that they currently have. I know they have Mac Hollins, who's an outside guy, but he's not really going to move the needle at all. But again, Joe Brady's philosophy, he's had three pretty good receivers before back in 2020 in Carolina with DJ Moore and Chosen Anderson, who he's called now, and obviously Curtis Samuel. And, you know, for the most part, they were mostly wide receiver twos and wide receiver threes. And they all averaged around 15 fantasy points per game in the same offense. And now they have a better quarterback with Josh Allen, and maybe he can spread the ball and distribute the ball to, you know, Shakir and Samuel and whoever they draft, and obviously Kincaid. So, you know, we'll see how it works out, man. And shout out to Jeff Mueller for that Curtis Samuel slot percentage information. But yeah, man, like any other thoughts on the Bills receiving core before we move on to the Texans?
They'll be cheap, stackable options if you want to go that route.
Yeah, ambiguous wide receiver cores. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of ironic because last year we had the Texans. They were very, very cheap, very cheap, very stackable. And, you know, conversely, the Bills will probably be very cheap and very stackable. Now, Dalton Kincaid is going to be steaming up draft boards, but the other guys, Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel, they're going to be pretty cheap still.
Yeah, I mean, wide receiver 61 is the cheapest, the most expensive, my bad, which is Curtis Samuel. So, I mean, that's like 11th, 12th round before you start looking at it. Obviously, that's going to go up as you start doing drafts, but I can't imagine it moving up like a full two rounds. So you could still, if you really wanted to go that route, you could stack this wide receiver room pretty easy. All right, so let's go ahead and get to the team that everybody wants to talk about, the Texans. Obviously, you got Stephon Diggs moving into this wide receiver room with Nico Collins. You got Tank Dell, now dead, Noah Brown, you know, John Mechie, cuttable, and you probably shouldn't even think about Xavier Hutchinson. So, just give a little bit of background about this team. They ran 11 personnel almost 61% of the time, which was 23rd in the league last year. That was below average, but average rate for 11 personnel, which is one running back, one tight end, and three wide receiver sets. And they ran that set at a below average rate of the league. The league average was 62.5%. Pass rate out of 11 personnel was 73.7%, which was 10th in the league, though. So if they ran the set, then you knew there were 7 out of 10 times they were passing the ball. So it should be interesting to see how this, you know, all shakes out, because obviously, I mean, if all you got to do is go to Underdog and you can already see like Nico Collins at wide receiver 9, Tank Dell at wide receiver 20. And I think these were at places where I didn't really like if I drafted one team, I probably would have skipped both of these guys because I think they were overvalued before this move. But now adding Diggs, this kind of pushes them down probably in a range where like now I'm like, all right, cool. Now I feel good about taking these players at these certain ranges. But what are your initial thoughts with Diggs, you know, coming into this wide receiver room and what it could possibly look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's first of all, I mean, this is obviously a huge, huge boost to CJ Stroud. I mean, I think that goes without saying. Yeah. But as in terms of like the wide receivers, I mean, they all do something different, right? I mean, they're all pretty versatile, and they don't operate in the same areas of the field. So they're pretty versatile, and they can use them differently in each of their ways. They can dominate in each of their ways. So they are literally the perfect complement for each other. Stephon Diggs, he's an outside guy, but he can play the slot. He can go downfield and have contested catches. Nico Collins is probably the alpha. He can go down the field, contested catches, and then Tank Dell is the Mr. Do It All. Put him in motion, you know, put him on jet sweeps, and put him in the slot, and you know, have him, you know, throw some short passes out to him, and have him get a lot of yak. But on Underdog, I mean, they're literally going from anywhere from pick 16 overall to pick 30. That's the range that each of these wide receivers are going, and so it's probably gonna it's I don't know if it's going to shift one way or the other. I don't know if any of these guys are going to go up. I feel like they're all probably going to take a step back, to be honest.
Yeah.
Especially Nico Collins, who's obviously the most expensive right now. He's wide receiver 9. I see him going probably back to like wide receiver 15, 16, maybe even wide receiver 20. And I think they'll probably all be drafted around the same range when it's all said and done. And you know, these receivers, I mean, it's, again, it's they're the perfect complement for each other. And I mean, I can't wait to see how they all ball out, man. It's a really good situation for Houston. And like you said, they passed 7 out of 10 times 11 personnel. I would imagine they're going to be running a lot more 11 personnel this season. I mean, you have the personnel to do it because you didn't really have the personnel to do it last year. You had Nico and Tank, and then you had a lot of injuries, a lot of rotation, a lot of rotational pieces. I mean, Noah Brown played well in spurts. John Manchie was in there. You know, Robert Woods was there. I don't know if he's back, but it doesn't matter now because they have digs. So at the end of the day, I think they're going to be running a lot more 11 personnel. We're going to see a lot more passing from that formation in 2024 for the Texans.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are going to be hyped up about, you know, these three. I mean, obviously, if you go on our group text, yeah, we have a couple of Texans fans. They're already talking about this is a Super Bowl team. They're the best team in the league. So a lot of people are excited. But I think from a fantasy perspective, I think people need to be, you know, a little wary in terms of where they're drafting these guys. Because, again, like you said, they're going to probably be going in around the same range. I mean, they're all kind of in the same range. But now with this move, they probably going to be bunched in the same range. It's kind of probably going to be tough to try to stack two of these guys, which Stroud and Underdog are going to try to do that. But in terms of, like, target share, you know, Stephon Diggs with Buffalo, he had 27.6 target share. Nico Collins was 21, and then Tank Dell was 19. So obviously these numbers are probably going to drop a little bit. So efficiency is going to be really key here. And I know, you know, trying to depend on efficiency for three different wide receivers that all finished within a top 36 last year in terms of fantasy points per game is going to be, it's going to be tricky. So somebody's going to take a deeper dive than the other one or two. So it might be kind of a guessing game of who it is, because obviously, like you stated, they all do different things. They all win in different ways. Yeah. And they're all interchangeable in terms of where you put them in the information. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I know in real football, this is going to be, it's going to be tough for a lot of defenses to try to guard these three on top of having, you know, Mixon, and you still got Dalton Schultz. So going to be a tough offense to defend for sure.
Yeah. And just last thing on Diggs, and shout out to Scott Connor for this tweet. There was a thread that he talked about Stephon Diggs and his Trinity score and how you know, answering the question whether or not Diggs is washed. Now, I don't think he's washed. I still think he still has a lot left in the tank. I think there was a combination of a lot of things that happened to him last year down the stretch. You know, it could have been he was banged up. It could have been the scheme change because they shifted to more of a run heavy approach, you know, towards the latter half of the season, where you saw James Cook have a lot of spike weeks, and that, you know, that coincided with a decline in Stephon Diggs. And, you know, weeks 1 through 7, Stephon Diggs, or 1 through 8, Stephon Diggs was a wide receiver 1. He had like an eight Trinity score, which is firmly in wide receiver 1 territory. And then when they have, you know, the offensive coordinator change, his Trinity score was around a 5, which isn't good at all, which is probably like a wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5 range. But in totality, if you take weeks 1 through 18, he was wide receiver 1, still wide receiver 1. So he has a body of work of a wide receiver 1 in total. So I think there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered, but I think we'll all find out together. I know he's 30. Is he on the wrong side of 30, or does he still have another go in him? I think the way that he plays, I think his game can age. His game can age really well. Much like, you know, a guy like Keenan Allen, whose game can age really well, and we'll talk about him here in a little bit. But I think Diggs still can give you some very quality weeks, you know, in 2024.
Agreed.
All right, next wide receiver core we want to talk about is Green Bay. So they got Christian Watson, Romeo Dubs, Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, and Bo Melton, all young guys under the age of 24. which is really good if you're a Packers fan and you know they have a young quarterback who's 24 years old, and you know, a completely young team except for running back. They signed Josh Jacobs, who's 27, but in any event, they have a young offense and young pass catchers, and that's really, really good. That's really, really good for a team like that. And they went into, you know, the Cowboys Stadium and in the playoffs, and all those receivers were running wide open for the most part.
Man.
So it was really, really good scheme and really, really bad scheme on the Cowboys end. So, but in terms of the Packers, like kind of tendencies, out of 11 personnel, 63.1%, which is 18th, so middle of the pack. Their pass rate out of 11 personnel was 71.2%, middle of the pack, 18th again. But in 12 personnel, which is two tight ends on the field, 31.6%, which is third, and their pass rate out of 12 personnel, 44.3%, which is 24th. But when they do pass the ball overall, when they just pass the ball, just forward pass, regardless of personnel grouping, they're fourth in EPA. So Jordan Love had a high EPA. And remember, we talked about early in the season, his EPA was lacking. He was getting pretty lucky with he had a lot of turnover worthy plays earlier in the season. But as the season progressed, he got more comfortable and he was balling. He was balling. I think he was one of the top quarterbacks, if not the top quarterback, in EPA per play, EPA per dropback, and even into the playoffs. So for the EPA per pass, you know, pretty efficient from Jordan Love. But with regards to their actual receivers, I mean, their cheapest guy or their most expensive guy is Jaden Reed, and he's wide receiver 33. And you know, it's pretty steep. It's pretty expensive for me. Especially, you know, he's going in the range of guys like George Pickens, Christian Kirk, Terry McLaurin, Calvin Ridley, Jordan Addison. All those guys I would take ahead of Jaden Reed because they don't have as much ambiguity in the wide receiver room as Green Bay does. Because Jaden Reed didn't really dominate in targets. Mm-hmm. He was used as a lot as a gadget guy. He was getting a lot of end arounds. He was getting a lot of carries out of the backfield, which is great. You know, getting some extra points in fantasy, it's awesome. But in terms of target share, he was all these guys were kind of close. They were relatively close. There wasn't one guy that really just kind of pulled away. Jordan Love did a really, really good job of spreading the ball around. With this receiving core. So Jaden Reed, wide receiver 33. I don't foresee myself having a lot of him in this best ball season or in this season in general. You know, Christian, we go down to Christian Watson, wide receiver 44, and Romeo Doubs, wide receiver 45. You know, Christian Watson, I mean, his hamstrings, man. It's the hamstrings. He's got degenerative hamstrings. He wants to be Miles Austin so bad. So bad, bro. But I think I read a report the other day where Christian Watson is getting some special treatment for his hamstrings.
Yeah, he's going to some specialist of hamstrings of some sort. So
yeah. So I mean, that's good. I mean, you want to get to the root cause of why your hamstrings keep failing year after year. So good for him to get that done. And then Romeo Doubs going after him at wide receiver 45. I mean, I probably see myself having a lot more Romeo Doubs than Christian Watson. I mean, at least for me, because we saw Romeo Doubs have some monster games down the stretch, especially in the playoffs. And you know, I think he's probably the guy that I have the most. Like, what are your quick thoughts about this Packers receiving core?
Oh man, you got seven players that includes a running back and a tight end, all between 11 to 17% target share. That's tough, man. That's really tough to, you know, trying to navigate, especially when you're, you know, drafting best ball teams or even specifically lineup leagues. If you're drafting, trying to figure out which one of these wide receivers that can you trust to, you know, perform. And I just don't think I can do it, because even Jaden Reed, who was really good in stretches of the season, or, you know, Bo Melton towards the end of the season, or like you said, Romeo Doubs at sporadic times of the season, like, I can't. How are you going to depend on somebody week to week for somebody that kind of, you know, is competing with, you know, five, six other players for, you know, for targets? I don't. It's tough, man. But playing underdog and, you know, you draft a bunch of teams, you'll probably dabble here and there to get one or two of these guys, but you know, overall, I don't really feel good about any of these. I can't really say it. I can't say with confidence in terms of like liking, you know, overly liking any of these players, honestly, because of they cannibalize each other, honestly. So it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But I mean, and then Dontayvion Wicks, wide receiver 64. He had some pretty good showings. So I may have some of him as well. But yeah, I mean that's the cheapest guy, especially in a room like this. If there's one thing that we can kind of take from this is that the Packers wide receivers are cheap and stackable. Right? Yeah. That's the biggest key takeaway here. And I like to just, you know, continue to bring this example up, but similar to 2023 in Houston, the wide receiver is cheap and stackable. You can get them at the end of the drafts. And Jordan Love is not super expensive himself as a quarterback. So yeah, a lot of these guys, you can stack a couple of them and it'll be a game of roulette to see who decides to pop in a given week. But at least you have exposure to that Packers offense.
Yeah, there was only Romeo Doubs was the only wide receiver that ran at least above 70% of the routes for the season. So again, it's just tough. It's tough when, you know, everybody loves Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed didn't even break 60% for the season. So and I know we were begging for the Packers to play him more, and they were fine how they deployed him. So I don't know. It's tough. All right. Next thing we want to talk about, the Los Angeles Ravens / Chargers, whatever you want to call them, with all the moves that they're making. Trade away Keenan Allen. Don't re-sign Jared Everett. So really the only notable wide receivers they have on their team right now is QJ and Josh Palmer. QJ, who was just the worst wide receiver, rookie wide receiver we've seen since what, Jalen Reagor? Maybe even before that. He was just awful, man. Just when you drafted him in your first round of your rookie drafts last year, it's just like a black hole, honestly. Josh Palmer was hyped up the season before. We thought we were going to see big things from him, but he was dealing with injuries. Hopefully he's healthy this season. But really the main thing is that we don't really know what the Chargers are going to do. We know that they're at number 5 overall in the draft. People are mocking, you know, Malik Nabers to them. But for me, with all the other holes, I don't think they do that. I don't think that they take Malik Nabers at number 5 with, you know, John Harbaugh and the type of football that he wants to play. Obviously, you don't want to go into the season with your top wide receivers being QJ and Palmer, but I think
– And they won't. They won't.
Yeah. There's yeah, no I way. Think – I think they possibly trade back, but, you know, they have the 5th overall. They have the 37th overall. They have 69, 104, 110, 139, 180, you know, and then a couple of 7th rounders. So they got a lot of possible, you know, darts they can take with what, 4 picks within 37 pick to 110, 5 picks within 37 to 139. So they could double tap wide receiver within rounds 2 to 5. They could. I don't know, but I know that we're going to see some rookie wide receiver that we probably like get traded to this team, and it's probably going to really test how confident you are in that wide receiver with this in under this team and with Justin Herbert. So with the other moves that they made, like signing 2 tight ends, you know, signing Gus Edwards, having Greg Roman on as their OC, it just smells like, hey, we're just going to run a lot of, you know, 12 personnel and run the ball. But what are your thoughts about this wide receiver room?
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, conventional wisdom would suggest Malik Nabers at 5 would be the ideal choice for the Chargers. Most glaring need is a wide receiver, but the Chargers have a lot of holes. They need to continue to invest in their offensive line. Justin Herbert's been getting killed the last couple of years. He's been more injury prone than we would like to admit, and that's probably why, you know, there's a reason why Justin Herbert hasn't had as much success in the NFL so far. That's part of it. That's part of the reason why. But conventional wisdom would suggest that they would be drafting a receiver at 5. But if they trade back, let's say they trade back to what pick 20 or pick 16, and they pick up an extra second in this year's draft, and maybe a first in 2025 to help out, you know, to help him help Justin Herbert even further. I mean, they may have multiple picks within the top, I don't know, top 50, at least three or four top 50 picks. At least two of those should be used on wide receiver. At least that's what a lot of people should be saying, especially with how deep this receiver class is. And so there's a lot of options on the table for the Chargers, but I would anticipate by the end of the draft, they would have drafted at least two receivers within rounds 2 and 4. That's a default prerequisite for the Chargers. If there's a goal for the Chargers at the end of the draft, it's to draft multiple receivers between rounds 2, 3, and 4. Like that needs to happen. And then their first round pick, they could probably invest in the offensive line. And then, you know, we're obviously, you know, they need to get a backup running back behind Gus Edwards. And there's a lot of holes for this team, man. There's a lot of holes.
Yeah.
That's what I anticipate. And then in terms of like where these current wide receivers, these incumbent wide receivers are going, Quentin Johnson is the most expensive all the way down there. Wide receiver 63. He's the most expensive. And then Joshua Palmer, a couple slots down, wide receiver 67. So it's around pick 147 for Josh Palmer. So needless to say, you know how I feel about these two. Joshua Palmer is probably the guy I'm going to have the most of.
Yeah.
If as things stand today, I'm going to have the most Joshua Palmer on my best ball teams, because I mean, as a matter of fact, we drafted him last week in last week's draft.
We did.
So we're going to continue that trend until we can't. So, but yeah, we're going to see a lot of Joshua Palmer and, you know, Quentin Johnston, man. I made this point last week. Don't want to bury a kid after the first year. But we didn't see enough. We didn't see anything in the first year to really indicate that, you know, he's gonna turn into something, right? It's really concerning. Hopefully he can turn it around. He can prove a lot of us wrong. That's the hope, at least. But I don't want to be inhaling that hopium narcotic too much. It's not good.
Yeah. All right. Quick question before we hop on to the next team. So let's say the Chargers draft Adnan Mitchell at 37. He's going a wide receiver 48 right now. Would you be inclined to take him over somebody like Cortland Sutton at 40, wide receiver 47, Christian Watson or Romeo Doubs who are right above him, or somebody like Jameson Williams, or no, Deontay Johnson, who's going at wide receiver 43, would you be inclined to take any of those, put Adnan over any of those wide receivers above him?
I'm definitely not taking Adnan over Deontay Johnson. Now the Panthers will probably draft the guy, maybe double dip in at receiver as well. But I don't see any. I don't know. I don't see anything that would indicate that Deontay Johnson is going to be starred for targets. He's gonna be the primary guy there. So I wouldn't take him over Deontay Johnson. Cortland Sutton is interesting. Don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be or going to end up being in Denver. Do they take a quarterback early? I mean, do they even have a first round? I don't think they have a first round pick this year, do they?
No, they lost it because of your guy Russ.
Because the Russell Wilson trade, yeah. So the quarterback situation is very up in the air, but and the other guys you named, Romeo Doubs, ambiguous wide receiver core. I don't know. I think I would be inclined to take him over a couple of those guys. I know definitively I wouldn't take him over Deontay Johnson, but the other guys you can make a case for. I would take Adonai Mitchell over him just because he's an incoming rookie. He's playing with a better quarterback, and he's probably the more talented. He steps in. He's already the most talented wide receiver on that roster. So a lot of those factors at play. I mean, I would be inclined. There's an argument for and against, you know, drafting him over those guys. But for me, I would slightly lean drafting him over those guys.
just want to correct myself. They do have their first round this year. It's their second round that they're missing. So they have the 12th overall pick in this coming draft.
And is that enough to get a quarterback?
Probably not. They're probably going to have to trade up.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of anticipation that there may be four first round quarterbacks.
The top four picks might be first round. But we'll see about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next wide receiver core. Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs really quick. There's not too much going on outside of Rashee Rice, almost, getting into some high speed chases on the 75. The Chiefs wide receiver core is going to be it just got a lot more interesting now, because chances are Rashee Rice is facing discipline from the NFL for the incident. He is cooperating with law enforcement, which is a good thing, but the NFL is probably going to suspend him in some capacity. He's going to be disciplined in some capacity. Right now, he's going a wide receiver 16 on underdog, and I loved him before this incident. I even loved him even after Marquise Brown signed. But now there's that potential that he may miss games.
Yeah.
He may not pay off that wide receiver 16 price. So right now I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit and watch him fall to the wide receiver 20-ish range or so. But the guy that's going to be going up is Marquise Brown. Is already climbing up to wide receiver 40, 41, 72 overall. He's probably going to be in the wide receiver 30 range, probably by the close of this big board tournament in the beginning of Best Ball Mania 5. He's going to continue to climb as we get more and more news as to what's going to happen with Rashee Rice. But outside of that, those are the main two guys in that offense. I mean, right now, going back to Rashee Rice really quick, I forgot to mention that since his ADP is a wide receiver 16, he's going before Deebo Samuel, and he's going around the same range as Chris Olave and Mike Evans and some of those guys. So obviously he's going to be moved. We're going to move him, behind Deebo and Olave and Mike Evans and even Michael Pittman and Jaylen Waddle and those guys. So I can't draft him right now because there's going to be a lot of a lot of potential legal trouble that's coming his way. But what are your quick thoughts on this receiving core? Because right now they can't rely on Sky Moore. Sky Moore is done. They cut MVS, your guy MVS. They have Justin Watson, I think, still. Is Justin Watson still there? Doesn't matter. Yeah. And they're more than likely going to go wide receiver 32. I think they were going to go wide receiver 32 regardless of the Rashee Rice situation, because Marquise Brown's only on a one-year deal. So they were probably already going to draft a wide receiver, and this makes it even more of a reality now since their top guy is put in potential legal trouble. So what are your quick thoughts on the Chiefs receivers?
I agree with you in terms of Rice probably dropping. He probably in the mid-20s for sure. I anticipate six games, and people can't afford taking, six zeros from a top 30 overall player. That hurts your team. So he's going to drop. Hollywood's ADP is going to rise. And, they could take wide receiver at 32. Nothing's out the realm of possibility, but outside of that, I think the situation is what it is, honestly. It's just a matter of who Mahomes trusts in the offense, honestly. So I think it'd be between those three. If Rashee Rice misses games, then it'd be Hollywood and Kelsey. Because Andy Reid doesn't like playing rookies right away. So that rookie, if they do draft at 32, that rookie might not even get going until Rashee Rice comes back. And then can you even trust that rookie when he comes back? So I think this is the wide receiver room that you should trust. I mean, in terms of the players you should trust in this wide receiver room.
Yeah. Yeah. And then last thing on Rashee Rice. Now his Trinity score isn't great, right? From weeks 1 through week 18, I think it's around 6.5. So that puts him in wide receiver 3 territory. But if you look at the sample size of, weeks 10 through week 18, where he was basically Mahomes' favorite target, he got more playing time, because there was a point in time and during the season where he wasn't getting a lot of snaps. he was running significantly less routes than Justin Watson, than Marcus Valdez Scantling, a lot of those guys. Once his route participation climbed into the 70s and then the 80s and then subsequently the 90s, and then he became a full-time player, he was a wide receiver one. He was a wide receiver one. So that's one thing to kind of keep in mind. And, you know, obviously his average depth of target wasn't high, but he had a lot of yak opportunities, and that's what he thrived on at SMU in college. And he was utilized like that in the NFL. So he was Mahomes' wide receiver one by a mile, by a country mile, actually.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of one thing to kind of keep in mind with Rashee Rice is, yeah, he's really, really talented, really, really good player. He was basically a wide receiver one down the stretch, the last half of the season.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the Bears, man. So the Bears, they got DJ Moore, who I was not as high as you were on coming into the season, and he smashed. Like, it wasn't even a 9.21 fantasy, Trinity score. I think he was third or fourth in Trinity score. He was, wide receiver 3 for the season, I believe. So, no, wide receiver 9 in terms of points per game. But he smashed. Now you add Keenan Allen, who also scored over a 9 in terms of Trinity score for the past season with 21.5 points per game. It's going to be tough for, we can already say Caleb Williams to support these two at this range, but both these guys should be at least wide receiver 2s, maybe one of them for sure being still in wide receiver 1 territory. But I mean, outside of these two, I'm not, even if they draft, Roman Duse or something like that, I think that third person, whoever they draft, if they draft a high wide receiver, I think they still take a backseat to these two because these are highly skilled veterans that know how to, operate within an offense, and they'll be comfortable targets for Caleb Williams to throw to. So, I mean, I don't really have nothing to add on top of this, man. I think it's pretty simple.
Yep. Allen at wide receiver 27 is a value. 41st player off the board. Keenan Allen, 5 of the last 7 years, or 5 of the last 7 seasons, 100-plus receptions. And he was a wide receiver 1 in 4 of those seasons. And he still has a lot left in the tank. He's coming off a 108 reception season. And, this past year, he was 11th in yards per out run and 3rd in target rate. So he's going to be, as I mentioned about Diggs' game aging, Stephon Diggs' game aging well. See, Keenan Allen, he was never a fast guy. I think he ran a 4.7 coming out of college. Coming into the NFL, and his route running prowess is second to none. I've said that he's a top 5 route runner, if not one of the best, if not the best route runner in the league, because he just sets up defenders, and he has just this knack just getting open at will, and his subtle movements, and you don't need a lot of speed, right? For him, he doesn't need a lot of speed to get open. So his quickness, I think that'll continue to age, and he's going to work more in the slot, and he's a rookie. He's the type of receiver that's going to be a rookie quarterback's best friend. Easy throws, easy targets. And so I'm going to have a lot of Keenan Allen, and I love DJ Moore, and I'm going to have a lot of Chicago Bears on my teams and my best ball teams this fall.
Yeah. And I don't think in terms of their ADP, I don't think they really move, because of, we've already talked about, Nico Collins is above DJ Moore, and we already said that he's going to drop. So I think DJ Moore actually kind of stays within the wide receiver 12, wide receiver 14 range. And I think Keenan Allen also at wide receiver 27, that's a steal. I think he kind of stays within that same range also because of, we like to practice ageism in fantasy. So, with people kind of moving down because of their news, like Rashee Rice, I think he just kind of stays where he's at. So I think you can get these guys at a good rate. You probably won't get both of them, but you at least get one of them if you want to stack with Caleb Williams. So I think their room is straightforward.
Yeah, pretty straightforward. Any other receiving corps you want to talk about, or because these are the main ones that we really wanted to really discuss. I think we can maybe touch on the Browns really quick.
Yeah, let's talk about the Browns.
They did trade for Jerry Jeudy, and I've been kind of outspoken about how I don't really think that's much of a needle mover, in my opinion. I mean, Jerry, you did kind of talk me off a ledge a little bit, but his Trinity score was pretty decent.
Yeah.
So we'll have to, it'll just remain to be seen, like, how he, you know, how he does. And again, I keep mentioning Trinity Score, but those of you first time listeners, there's a tool that RageGQ created called the Trinity Score. It basically has all the wide receiver shit that you need, all the important wide receiver shit that you need to look for. And, you know, it assigns a score, you know, and it breaks down into tiers, wide receiver one, wide receiver two, wide receiver three. It's a really, really helpful, insightful, and useful tool to evaluate wide receiver production. Please check it out on DestinationDebbie.com. Fantastic tool. But, I mean, the Browns, I mean, they have, you know, three pretty, you know, they have three talented receivers, Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, Jerry Jeudy. And they were in 11 personnel. That's three wide receivers, 68.3%, 11th overall, 11th in the NFL. And their pass rate, though, was only 66%, which is 26th in the league. So they didn't really pass much out of that formation. They ran the ball a lot more than we would like. But I think with these three receivers and a potentially, you know, a potentially healthy Deshaun Watson, I think they should be passing the ball, you know, a little bit more. What do you think about this receiving core?
Yeah, I think they should be passing a little bit more. Obviously, with Njoku also being a guy that has to be respected, Deshaun Watson supporting those three wide receivers on top of Njoku probably isn't going to happen. So my guess would be Elijah Mitchell is the one who is already kind of teetering from being dead. Elijah Moore. I don't think it's somebody that you can really rely on, like, at all, in terms of fantasy for, you know, weekly production. It should be interesting to see how it all shakes out because, I mean, this past season, you know, Amari Cooper, you know, had over 20% target share and Njoku. So, I mean, we haven't seen Jerry Jeudy been above this number, but again, like you said, their pass rate out of 11 personnel being, you know, the bottom eight in the league, it should be interesting how this all shakes out because, you know, Jerry Jeudy saw almost 18% target share, but in his offense that he was in, they were one of the slower offenses and one of the offenses that didn't run as much as 11 personnel as some other teams. So it should be interesting. I know they got a new offense coordinator, but that doesn't really matter because, you know, Stefanski is the one that calls the play. So, but yeah, they've said that they are going to, you know, listen to Deshaun more and do some more things that he likes, which is to throw the ball more. So, I mean, it should be interesting to see in terms of, you know, ADP wise, how this all shakes out, because the cheapest is Elijah Moore, wide receiver 84, so pretty much at the end of your drafts. Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver 57, and then Amari Cooper, wide receiver 29, is going right at the turn of round four, round five. So I think they're priced at a pretty good range. We might see Jerry Jeudy move up a little bit, but I mean, I think we're here, and this is a very, very cheap stack to get because a lot of people are down on Deshaun Watson. So you can get pieces on this offense pretty easily for your underdog drafts.
Yeah, the range that Amari Cooper's going ahead of Zay Flowers, George Pickens. We talked about Jaden Reed, Calvin Ridley, some of those guys. So real quick question, Amari Cooper or George Pickens?
George Pickens.
Taking Pickens. I would probably take Pickens as well.
I'm high on Pickens.
Calvin Ridley or Amari Cooper? It's a similar setup, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Calvin Ridley is the de facto number one ish, and then you have a 1B in DeAndre Hopkins, and then you have a forgotten guy in Treylon Burks at the third wide receiver spot. So it's a kind of a similar setup, but just quarterback is the difference. So who
I lean on Amari Cooper here.
Yeah. Yeah, I would slightly lean to Cooper as well. Better quarterback. I think one in default for picking between two players, especially in similar situations, I think the tiebreaker would be quarterback. So
yeah,
okay, T. Higgins or Amari Cooper. T. Higgins is going a spot before him, and we've heard a lot about if T. Higgins is going to get traded. Is he not going to get traded? What is he going to do?
Let me go Cooper here since he's the number one on his team.
Yeah, I think that's an important distinction here. He's the actual number one on the team, and Ja'Marr Chase is the alpha in Cincinnati. So that makes a lot of sense. All right, last one. Jordan Addison or Amari Cooper?
Cooper.
Cooper. Okay. Yeah, I mean, Jordan Addison in the quarterback situation, I mean, Jordan Addison is wide receiver 38-7. Mm-hmm. I don't see that. I don't.
You think that's too high?
I think that's kind of hot for him, especially if they're going to. I saw a report that they may just, you know, let Sam Darnold start in 2024 and just wait until 2025 to get a quarterback.
And that's a dangerous game, man.
That is a dangerous game to play.
Dangerous game.
Oof, that's going to.
Mr. Turnover Darnold, man. I don't know.
Yeah, that's going to be one that I'm curious to see how that plays out, because if they really try that, yeah, that's going to be a tough one. But yeah, that's, you know, those are some interesting ones.
Yeah. All right. We are at the end of the show. Appreciate y'all listening to us in terms of, you know, just kind of talking out some of these wide receiver cores that deemed interesting. I'm assuming it should be interesting to a lot of y'all listening in terms of trying to decipher how to navigate, you know, this offseason, getting ready for the season and getting ready for these rookie drafts. Make sure y'all tap into the draft stream that's going to be happening at the end of the month. We are going to be going live. We're going to be giving away a lot of stuff. If you want to be in the drawing to get any of these autographed jerseys or Heisman tier memberships or anything of that nature, roster meetings with, you know, the DTI 5 guys, make sure you, if you tap into, if you use Underdog and you want to use a code, you're going to use DDD. That will automatically get you into the drawing to win any of these prizes that will be given away throughout the draft stream. So make sure you put in DDD as a promo code in Underdog if you want to get into that drawing. Appreciate y'all listening to us. Make sure you listen to everything that's coming on the Destination Divvy Radio Network on Spotify or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Ike, you got anything before we get up out of here?
No, I mean that's it. The draft stream is going to be a movie. It's going to be a movie. It's going to be pure cinema. Can't wait for that. Keep tapping into DestinationDevy.com and all the wonderful tools that we got. Tap into Underdog. Once again, use the code OTLFF for 100% deposit match up to $100. And join some of these drafts with us. Maybe you'll get lucky and you'll be in a draft with me, or get in a draft with Gene, or get in a draft with Ray, or get in a draft with Scott. Like, it's Underdog is a really good platform. It has a lot of contests, a lot of ways to win money. So, yeah, definitely check that out and lean into it.
Yep. On that note, we'll holler at y'all next week. Y'all be safe.
Peace.